A Sky Cinema original.
Do you remember the night we met?
Based on the true story behind Ted Bundy.
This is all gonna end.
It's only gonna end with the truth.
America's most notorious serial killer.
This case is about catching a monster.
Starring Zac Efron, Lily Collins, Kaya Scodelario, and John Malkovich.
Promise you'll never leave me.
Did you do these things, Ted?
Extremely wicked, shockingly evil, and vile. In cinemas and on Sky Cinema Friday.
Welcome to Winter is Crappening. I'm Ronnie Karam, and I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Ben Mantelker. Hi, Ben.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. We also do Watch What Crappens, which is a podcast all about Real Housewives and Bravo shows. So go check that out if you're so inclined. I mean, it gets as ugly as this show. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, honestly, everything that happened tonight on Game of Thrones is like nothing compared to like an average episode of Real Housewives of New York. Just saying. Just saying.
I mean, we've had blue flames for years.
Oh, yeah. The Night Kings don't die on that show.
Wow. What an episode. So we just finished watching this episode and immediately came online to record this because, you know, I mean, I don't really have anybody else in my house to talk to about it. I was just going, yes!
Yeah, I got no one.
You know, it's like the straightest show I've ever watched, but I know. It's the gayest I've ever been watching a show, you know?
Yeah, it really goes both ways because there were many times during tonight's episode where I was like, I guarantee there are so many straight dudes who just are like splooging themselves right now. Yeah. Like every time there was a slow-mo sequence, you just know there was like 10 bros in like every corner of this world that were like, oh my God, oh, it's so good, yeah. It's so powerful.
Suddenly you start hearing straight guys everywhere going, yeah!
Yes!
Big night for humans, though. Gotta say, big night for humans. Really, you know, came from behind, pulled off some surprise moves, and didn't expect it, perhaps. But you know what? Humans, they always find a way, don't they?
Yeah, we do. We're like the scourge of the earth. That's why I was convinced that the Night King was going to win. I was like, really? I mean, how much are we going to root for humans after watching this show? Or really any show? Or even people in an airport, or just in public in general, you know? Like,
yeah.
It doesn't inspire you with a lot of confidence. But damn it, we just keep pooping and burping our way through.
Not even a Night King. Well, you know, to be fair, the Night King really did take his time trying to kill Bran. I mean, he was like, I'm like, sir, he's sitting there. He literally can't even move. And you're going to do this, like, slow waltz up to him?
Well, of course, because, like, a typical bully, he's going to take on the guy in the wheelchair. You know what I mean? He's like, now I'll fight. I'm like, oh, really, big boy?
Way to go, Night King.
Way to go.
So we are way ahead of ourselves because there's just a lot to unpack and go through. I will say this, though. Macro note, very impressed with the number of characters that survived tonight. I really thought we were going to be losing some of my favorites. I mean, to be fair, I say this every episode, but I really thought Grey Worm and Brienne, this is the end of the line for them, and they're still around. I can't believe it.
Yeah, every time they showed Grey Worm, I was like, wait a minute. I thought he died because through this episode, they keep doing these shots with Grey Worm where it's like, all right, close up on Grey Worm. He's in his helmet. Okay, now watch him closely. And he's like, oosh, 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 oosh. And then it's like the music stops. And then he goes for it. And I'm like, okay, he's dead. I don't even look to see what happens. You know, I just assume that he died because he had a swan song breathing thing.
Yeah, he had like a million final grunts. And then I started to realize, no, he's just that dude at the gym who makes that noise before he does like, you know, a chest press. And you're like, okay, sir, enough.
Yes, and enough. Brianna is that girl at tennis who plays like...
Monica Seles.
Yeah, she's always screaming every time she swings.
And you know what? Monica Seles survived too.
Yeah, you see? Life.
She went through some bad shit. She got stabbed, and she survived.
Full circle.
Full circle.
So we open with a shot in kind of silence while Sam is just wringing his hands, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Sam finally has a really cute haircut, a quilted leather jacket that fits beautifully.
Yeah.
I know a lot of you aren't big people, but to other big people out there, we know what that means, you know? It's like hard to find your haircut and your perfect jacket and like to look cute in clothes that everyone else looks cute in, you know? And I, this is when I thought he would die, because that's what happens, you know? You finally look good. You finally accomplish, like, maybe he'll get asked out someplace, you know? And then death.
I was it's funny because the first thing we see was just his hands, and it's just immediately you're like, oh, those got to be Sam's hands. Like, no one does like tremble hands like Sam. It's a signature move of his.
I know, the audition was just a close-up on the hands. It was like a hand model audition. They needed some hand acting. They're like, exactly. We need really insecure hands.
That's what, like 9 years ago, that was like the first thing that they did. They were like, they called him in under the guise of it being a hand model audition. He thought he'd be like displaying some male jewelry on QVC. And it turns out, no, he was punked. He got the role of a lifetime.
Yeah, it was just a secret audition. They made him think he was selling lotion or some shit.
So he's like all nervous. And meanwhile, Liana Mormont, she's like over on the side just screaming at someone, just full on. She's ready for battle. Get over there, you know? And I'm like, Liana, like, keep it down just a sec, just a little bit. Like,
no,
everyone's
she's
nervous.
My queen. You yell, bitch. You get
no,
them
I'd
shape.
Love her. I love her, but I'm just like, you know, everyone's nervous. You know, like when everyone's nervous, we still need someone else screaming, you know? There's gonna be plenty of time for screaming.
Oh no, that girl's like the head of every unit in like Full Metal Jacket, you know, like, get over there. There's like heads exploding around them. It's like, get up. And you're like, jeez, little lady. And she's like my Aunt Josie in the bowling alley, like, paint the rest of those bowling ball racks, you're never getting out of here, idiot. So we open with this really cool long shot. It goes from Sam, and then Sam's like, okay, I guess I'll move my hands over to this other area. And then we follow Tyrion for a while, and I'm like, this is the greatest shot. I love this really long shot because it's kind of like the West Wing, which I also liked, but with a lot of dead people.
Right, you know? And like more zombie-ish, yeah. Right?
And then fucking Tyrion grabs the biggest bag of wine I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, are you going somewhere with my mother? Like, that wine, that bag of wine is bigger than you. Like, where are you going?
I also like the look that Tyrion gives Sam, because he's like basically doing what the rest of us are doing. We're like, okay, he's probably going to be dead soon. All right. Tyrion's basically a stand-in for the audience, just trying to case up who in Winterfell is going to survive the next, you know, 2 hours.
Yeah. And then they pass Bran, and Bran's just like, that's the look of
being
his face. He's
somewhere.
Like, hello. Bran's I guess I'll leave the courtyard now.
Yeah, enjoy the courtyard, Bran. Enjoy going over there to warg for like an hour and a half and do nothing.
Yes. And then everything's just in pause. We see this humongous army, and everyone's in line, and everyone's pausing, and then this horse is like, and I was like, shut up, horse.
Quiet horse.
I got so mad at the horse. I was like, be quiet. There's like thousands of people on set, horse, and you have to snort, you know?
I know. You just ruined the shot. Time is money. Time is money. That's what a second AD once yelled at me for when apparently I got into the shot of something when I was a PA back in 2001. I'll always remember being yelled at by that stupid second AD. So he goes, time is money. Time is money.
Yeah, stupid horse.
Stupid horse. Stupid horse. Second AD. So, so I was fully expecting, by the way, everyone was so still. I thought like an arrow was going to come out of the darkness and just like kill someone, you know? Were you expecting that?
Well, I was like, come on, it's this damn show, you know? Like last week they had us singing folk tunes around a fire and shit. So I'm like, kill people. But I was so scared. I was really nervous this entire episode. And especially when they showed the lineup, they're like, and here are the people that you will be worrying about for the next hour. And then they just line them up, you know? It's like chorus line. Podrick, Jamie, Brienne, Grey Worm, Tormund, Beric, and some hot long-haired guy who I've never seen, but I mean, I'm sure I've seen him, but I didn't remember who he was, but I was like, this hot guy is so dead in 2 seconds because he's standing with all the leads, you know?
Yeah.
And he's too hot to live.
I was like, who are you? Why are you standing with the famous people? Definitely dead. And the dragons, like the good dragons, were flying overhead. So like everything is like, you know, there's a lot of anticipation. Sansa's like on the wall and she's just like staring out into the darkness and sort of panting already. So there's like a lot of apprehension.
Yes. And then Sam comes up to the front lines and Edison's like, oh, for fuck's sake, man, now's not the time, you know? And I get it. It's like, prove yourself when I'm not about to die. How about that? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
but I love that Sam ended up on the ground fighting like he was the piece of bacon fighting the humans not to eat him, you know? He was just laying there stabbing either way. I was like, you go, Sam. That's the best way to fight, lying down. Like, I'm totally, if this ever happens to me, I'm fighting like this too. I'm going to lie down and just start stabbing random things.
He did have a great tactic. I think he just caught everyone by surprise. They're like, oh, wait, that corpse is actually alive and stabbing me right now. Oh, well.
I was really worried for Ghost.
I should pay attention. I just assumed someone in a beautiful quilted jacket just would be dead by now.
Yeah, he's like, meep. Ah, this jacket has given me power. So then I got really scared because they showed Ghost, you know, and that's when I start getting really scared because, you know, I'm one of those animals over people kind of person.
Yeah.
And wow, I got really scared. I was like, guys, don't tell Ghost to fight. What the hell is Ghost going to do to a zombie? Okay. He can't just bite them to death.
Yeah. I don't even think that Ghost's like only moment. Cause then after that Ghost was like, you know what am I doing here? Cause like if the White Walkers take over, I'll still be fine. I'm going to the woods. Woof.
Yes. So this moment of silence, I think, is going to end because it's Jorah staring off into the darkness with that kind of like older man. Like, is he crying or is it just dusk? You know?
Yeah. He looked actually a little bored. So it's just, it's really dark. Sometimes the music's like bum, 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 bum. But then it's like not. Then it's like, then it's just like darkness and silence. And it's like scary.
And that's just a classic thing, you know, people afraid of the dark.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's like my thing in life, just being afraid of the dark and the light often too. So Jon and Daenerys are like looking over Winterfell. They're like on a cliff somewhere. And I was also wondering when they were looking out over Winterfell, what would happen if like the whites, like the dead people, the zombies come up from Jon and Daenerys from behind. I was like, did anyone consider that situation, or am I just like being very alarmist?
Well, Lord knows they'd hear him coming because they're on top of that mountain, and you'd hear, and then you'd hear like, it's not like they ever go anywhere subtly. They're always like causing an avalanche and shit. You know, that's the good thing about those
lights.
That's
true.
They're waiting to hear this, like the screech of the dead. And Daenerys is kind of like silent treatmenting him. And I'm like, I know we have really big things to worry about, but I'm like, how's your relationship?
She's like, you know, maybe now would be a bad time to talk about the fact that, like, technically I'm your aunt and we did have sex. So maybe we should address this.
Yeah. Never go to death angry.
Okay? Yeah. So we are like now in Winterfell. It's like darker and more silent than it's ever been. All right. It's just like getting worse and worse. I'm like on the edge of my seat. And then we hear a horse. And so I'm thinking, oh my God, it's gonna be a zombie horse, you know, like undead, and it's gonna come attack or whatever. I was like waiting for the worst. And guess who it is?
It's the lady in red.
Yeah, Melisandre. I'm like, great timing, Melisandre. Where have you been? How did you even get it? How did you even like approach Winterfell? There's like literally an army of the dead over there. How did you get through? Were you not on Twitter? Did you not see that there's like shit going down in Winterfell right now?
I know. She's just like, hello. You might notice my coat is more of a maroon today. It's showing my sadness, all right?
She's like, listen, I booked this trip to Winterfell 6 months ago, and I can't get a refund, so I'm coming no matter what.
So she goes right up to Jorah, and she's like, do you speak the tongue? And he's like, sí, que necesitas? So she's like, tell them lift their swords. And so he's like, oh, Jesus, what's this crazy lady going to do, you know? And I'm like, really? She hasn't done that much bad stuff, okay? So she burnt a little girl at the stake. I mean,
it can happen. It can happen.
In this world, that's not the worst thing. You know, just give her a chance.
She also brought Jon Snow back from the dead. So, you know, you gotta look at the full picture.
You win some, you lose some. You know,
she accessorizes very well. I mean, she stays alive through her accessories, basically.
Yeah. So she's like, a la cala, finto la pinto la cata, or whatever. And she takes her horse up to a hottie I mean, yeah. Like, of course she picks the hottest guy there. She's like, I will speak to the hottest person, sword. Thank you.
If you survive this, we will make a smoke baby together.
Yeah. Or a sickle, I guess I should say. And she grabs the blade and she's like, you know, sing a prayer or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then all the swords light on fire and everyone's like, yes!
It's a great trick. Yeah. I don't even understand why she was like sitting on that one for so long.
Yeah, all the Dothraki just start snapping in unison. They're like, yes.
Yeah, they're like, you know, but first the Pride Parade.
Yeah. And this is happening during Pride Month, you know, which is so great. And then we get an aerial shot of the wave of flame just like going all over the country. And I'm like, this is my Meemaw's worst nightmare. You know, it's like one game makes a million.
It felt like the opening ceremonies at the Olympics. I was like, wow, Winterfell 2024.
Yeah, it was really cool. And so everyone's cheering and Edison's like, fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Red,
I'll tell
just...
you who wasn't happy.
Who?
Brienne. Everyone's cheering. Everyone's excited. And you see Brienne and she's angrier than ever before. She hates this.
Yeah, she hates this. She's like, oh, damn, now we've got to deal with flames as well.
I know. And then Grey Worm's looking around. Grey Worm is barely able to understand what's going on. He looks like he is trying to find his car that's like parked on a different level at the mall. He's like, wait a second. My car isn't here.
I swear I have been by this column before. So
it was FD. I swear. FD. Oh, yes. Oh, okay. GA.
I
okay,
even G3. Took a picture of the number with my iPhone. It is G. Oh, never mind. I'm on the wrong level.
Never mind. Here it is.
He's like demanding one of those.
I forgot I was using a rental. I'm just used to my Camry.
He's demanding one of those guys on a golf cart take him around level to level.
It's Brienne. Brienne shows up on the golf cart. Hey, can I help you, sir? Yes. Can't find my Camry.
It's like, can we get to it now, sir? So Red just kind of looks at Grey Worm and she's like, hey bitch, and he's like, hey bitch, with their looks. And then Davos is like, hi, can we open the gate now? Has everyone found their Camrys? Are we ready to do this?
Yeah, exactly. So Melisandre comes in, he's like, raise the gate or open the gate or whatever. She comes in and they like come face to face and it's like awkward tension.
Yeah.
Because there's like awkward tension because obviously she killed like his favorite little girl and all that. And she's like, there's no need to execute me, Sir Davos. I'll be dead before the dawn. I'm like, hello, spoiler. Can you just stop spoiling your own show, please?
Her own storyline.
I know. It's like, excuse me.
Yeah.
I watched this live so I wouldn't have to be spoiled. And you actually got into the show and spoiled it from within.
And then she looks up and she and Arya give each other like the see you later, see you in a scene later look to each other.
See you in a scene later. That's perfect. That's exactly what that is.
And then we hear the hollering and here we go. So the Dothraki's right off doing their like Xena yell, you know, their Xena warrior princess yell.
Yeah. They go in strong. They just start charging forward with their flaming sickles.
Yes. And the fire bombs are launching. And then we see Ghost advancing, and I'm like, please don't take your dog to a fucking war. Like, who does that?
No.
Like, do you guys not have kennels? Put the dog in a kennel, okay?
Please board him. Well, they actually should put the dog in the crypt.
Yeah, well, they could have. Well, then, same thing, though. What are you going to do there, you know?
Well, poor I dogs. Feel like the dog would have been more useful in the crypt. Because, by the way, everyone on the internet all week long was like, does everyone realize that all those people are in the crypt and the Night King can raise people from the dead and that's where dead people are? Does anyone put this together? You know?
Yeah, but their strength varies from scene to scene. Like, sometimes they're like, oh, we're kind of limping towards you. And then sometimes they're running really fast. And then sometimes they can punch through stone.
Like, okay. I guess it's like humans themselves, right?
I guess.
Like, I would not be a stone puncher. I would be one of the slow ones in the library.
Yeah, I would basically be Sam. Just on the ground with a knife.
Just flailing like a turtle on its back.
Yes. And then we see the fire clashing in the dark with something. You know, we only see like a little quick shot of the dead, but they look gigantic. I guess the giants are in front because we just see hot Dothraki head turn up and look like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And then we just hear ceasefire. And then it looks like the fire is coming back towards them, and some of them probably are, but then we just see like one little fire go out at a time.
Yeah, it's like really sad. It's like, this is like what happens during Super Bowl intermission when, like, after the halftime show is over and everyone has to turn off their little lights that had said, like, world peace, you know, in the stands. Now they have to turn them off. That's what's happening.
And it's like the Dothraki were the most, the least cultured, I guess. You know, they, like, had the least manners. And I didn't like seeing them die first, you know? I was like, they were plucky.
And it was also like it was pretty much their civilization. I mean, that was like a population. That was like not just like a bunch of warriors. That was like the Dothraki. And by the way, Jon and Daenerys are watching this whole thing, and not once did one of them say, "Hey, why do they all have fire all of a sudden?" They just seem totally unfazed by that.
Well, those fuckers fly on dragons. I think at this point they're just like, whatever. You know, you just take it as it comes.
They're so jaded. Yeah. So here's something that I did not pick up on when we were watching it. But since I actually stuck around after the show ended and watched like the little like inside the show thing. So the creator, I always forget if his name is Daniel Benioff or David Benioff. But he was talking about this moment when they were watching the Dothraki get killed, and he was saying how the plan all along was that Jon and Daenerys were going to, like, wait it out and wait for the Night King to present himself, and then it'll be, like, two dragons on one. But because Daenerys sees the Dothraki all get killed, she's like, I can't sit idly by, and she gets up on her dragon and kind of ruins the plan. I didn't pick that up at all. I thought it was like, okay, this is how it's supposed to go now. I didn't realize that she had actually aborted the plan on her end.
Oh, yeah, because she's like, I'm leaving. And he's like, but the Night King, he's like, I have cry face. And the Night King is coming. And she's like, the dead are already here, okay? Get on your fucking dragon. Right.
That's true. But I guess it's more like I didn't realize by her that in that moment by her saying that it was like truly like upending the plan. I mean, that's a Ben problem, not a Game of Thrones problem. But I'm just sharing my experience.
So the army's waiting, and then we start hearing the monster squeal sounds. And they're coming closer and closer. And this is where we get a Grey Worm close up, breathing really hard face. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, there he goes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, this is it. This is Grey Worm's big moment. It's been like, I love you, Grey Worm. Big fan. You've done great work. Godspeed.
Bye. Yeah. Good Bye. To know you. Glad we got a butt shot. Bye.
Yeah.
So then the dead start coming, running at them, and they just basically run them over. They're just like, okay. Yeah. And they just like run right on top of them because there's so many of them. And I was like, you guys are fucked, okay? I don't even know what I'm watching right now, but I'm terrified. No one's going to – like, what are we going to do when everybody loses? Like, there's three more episodes.
Yeah, exactly. And on top of that, I was also like – prior to this moment, I was also very concerned for Jorah because Jorah had run off with the Dothraki. So I was like, is Jorah okay? But he came back. So we're like, okay, Jorah's fine for now.
Yeah, we got a good look at his eyes.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're still dewy, but they're not blue. We're like, welcome home, bitch. So
yes, he still doesn't have the grayscale. It's me, Jorah.
So we see Jaime and Brielle fighting and helping each other, you know, taking dead people out.
Did you say Brielle?
Oh, I did. Brienne, sorry.
Oh, God. Could you imagine Brielle Bierman's in this, too?
Sorry.
Taking
oh my God.
Selfies.
Yeah, this is intense enough without that. So then Dany comes over riding her dragon and just starts burning the fuck out of everybody. And it's like when you like take care of an ant problem too late. You know, it's like, wow, you just killed 100 ants. And there's 19 million ants.
But okay? The ants
they're literally carrying the remote control out of the room, you know?
Yeah, because at this point, the ants have already been told, just like walk along that wall. And so even though you've killed, you know, 15 ants, there's like 1,000 that have been told to walk on that wall. They're just going to keep on walking and there's nothing you can do.
Yeah. So John is sticking with his plan, which is take the generals out, right? Because they figured if you take, like any zombie movie, they've got the Walking Dead. I'm just kidding. I don't know if that's what happens to Walking Dead. But they figure if they take the main one out, then they can take them all out. So the generals are in the back line. And so he sees him on the dragon, and he's like, yes. And then, of course, these fuckers start an avalanche or whatever the hell they do. It's like a tidal wave of snow comes at them.
It's like all this, like, it's a very intense storm front that no one had anticipated. Although that storm front is what always comes whenever the White Walkers arrive. Like, it always just sort of, like, shows up. But it seemed like for a moment, like, okay, the dragon's just going to burn them alive. We're all going to be fine. Everything's going to be good. Brienne can stop fighting, which would be good because right now, like, my Brienne death alert is at like a 10. I'm like, she's going to go next. Like, I'm surprised Grey Worm hasn't gone, but she's going to go next. So it seems like everything is going to be going well. And then Crazy Cloud comes.
Yeah, Crazy Cloud comes and they can't see through it. And then, of course, he's a man, so he just won't pull over and wait because, you know, men don't do that. And I just wanted Dany to like burst through, like, let it go. I mean, they gave us like How to Train Your Dragon last week. I really wanted some fierce Elsa singing.
It would have been a perfect moment. It actually would have been what would have won it, because I guarantee those White Walkers would have been so confused.
I know, they'd have been like, "Show tunes."
He's like, "I'm a purist. I'm more from the golden age of Disney, you know, Alan Menken, Howard Rice, okay? I don't want any of this Frozen shit."
No kidding. We're already dealing with a talking snowman, okay? We don't need this shit too.
So meanwhile, Arya is like hanging out with Sansa, and Arya's like, "You better go to the crypt." And Sansa's like, "I'm not abandoning my people." And so Arya's like, "My sister's so annoying. Here, take this dagger." And Sansa's like, "I don't know how to use it." Arya's like, "Oh my god, really?"
Yeah, she's like, "Stick them with the pointy end," which is what Jon told her. And she's like the queen of the comeback, you know, because she like remembers her plot so well. She just brings it up all the time to other people. She's like, "Stick them with the pointy end. I heard that from someone one time."
Well, she spent a lot of time walking in the woods, so I think she just like relayed or just like remembered like parts of her life over and over and over again. She just sort of went through it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's what you do, huh? When you have to walk through the woods for that many seasons.
Yeah, you just
go over it over and over
about
again.
That time that Jon gave you a dagger, and you're like, "How do I use it?" And he said, "Just stick it in, you stick the pointy side in," and then you felt like a jackass, and you've been waiting years and years to like make someone else feel like a jackass. That way you weren't the only jackass. You didn't know how to use a dagger.
Yeah, you're just wandering through the woods like, "God, that one piece of pizza led to 80 pounds, and now I'm huffing and puffing through the woods. How did I let this happen?"
Or it's that. Yeah. How many years do I have to trudge through the woods before I stop feeling the sting of that pizza?
So then we're at the tree with Theon, and he's watching Bran. Like, "What the fuck, Bran? Okay, like, do you know what I've gone through to be here?" And Bran's just like, "Hello." He's like, "Hold on, let me just sit by this tree."
Yeah, Bran's just hanging out waiting for someone to turn Jeopardy on. It's like, "Bran, you know, there's a fight going on. Could you at least be a little bit concerned for other people?"
Yeah, he's the first person at the home waiting for Wheel of Fortune like 20 minutes before it starts.
And he always insists to be wheeled out at like 6:45. And everyone's like, "Actually, I'm still on my dinner break." And he's like, "No. Jeopardy now."
Yeah, he's the one that's like, "I'm not eating. I will not eat tonight." And then like halfway through Wheel of Fortune, he's like, "I want a ham sandwich." And they're like, "Damn it, Bran."
"I didn't even want to watch Wheel of Fortune, but you made me come out here. And now I'm into it. And now you're making me wheel you out when there's like five letters left."
So just a life check. Bran is still alive, and Tormund and Jaime. So that's good.
It's amazing.
But
it's
then
amazing.
A monster jumps on Jaime. But he should have died like, I don't know, 5 million times by now, and he keeps making it through. And I just say the power of bangs. I stick to that every week.
The power of bangs.
Yeah.
And it and by the way, the anti-power of bangs, because Brienne has like bangs that go the other way, and she's alive. And there have been like five times where I could have sworn she got tackled by like six zombies. And I was like, "Oh," I was like, "Really? That's how they're going to kill her? They're not even going to give like a final shot? We're just going to have to watch her get buried under a bunch of zombies?" And then she comes back up again. So it's great.
Yeah, she just keeps scaring them by going, "Oh!"
She's like, "It's Brienne." They're like, "Really?" So there's like a lot of like punching and whatever. And then like Sam is about to get killed because he's like on his back again. And there's like a zombie with like a blade right up to his face. And then Edison comes out of nowhere and kills the zombie. At which point I knew this was going to happen because Edison is not important enough to really even be in the mix here. And like as soon as Edison saves Sam, a white goes and kills Edison, of course.
Yeah, from the back.
Yeah.
And then they show the dead guy. And I'm like, please say that has not already happened to that hot guy from the beginning. But it doesn't because he got another reveal later.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we go back to the crypt and Sansa's in there and everyone's just like sitting around, you know, like, "God, remember how we complained that there was never anything good on?"
Yeah. They're like waiting. It's like when there's like a blackout and you like are stuck at home. Yeah. And you're like, you have to like light candles and you're like, "What do I do
you
now?"
You have to actually talk to your family.
I guess we'll play Monopoly by candlelight.
And then by the end, everyone's like, "Oh my god, that was so great! Actually, speaking to each other, not being on our phones. Okay, never do this again. See you guys later." Yeah.
This was actually, in a weird way, this was like a callback to that siege of King's Landing when Sansa was in the same situation but with Cersei. So that immediately reminded me of Cersei, and I kept on thinking, like, when things were getting really dire, I was like, "I bet Cersei's going to show up after all." But of course, she didn't.
Yeah, of course, she didn't. That effer.
She's at home. I mean, talk about watching Wheel of Fortune. She's actually at home watching Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, right, literally. Now. She's just having a bunch of people whose legs she's cut off, you know, like, roll around on the ground. It's like her own version of Wheel of Fortune.
She is doing Sudoku somewhere. Like, I mean, she's so oblivious to the fact that there's this, like, epic showdown happening, and she's just puttering around her castle.
Yeah, she's playing Wheel of Torture with Mountain.
Yeah.
So, Tyrion's just getting wasted, which, you know, I gotta hand it to Tyrion. He's consistent, you know? And then we go back out, and it's still that blizzard, and Jon's flying through it. And then he and Dany's dragons crash into each other.
Yeah.
And
worst
I'm,
nightmare.
At this point,
that's
I'm
my
just
worst
terrified.
Nightmare, being on a dragon.
Yeah.
Accidentally crashing into another dragon.
Yeah. You shouldn't drive in those conditions. Everybody knows that, you know? But laws have changed a lot since then.
Yeah. There's a lot of technology has really, you know, has come up a lot.
Yeah.
So anyway, so now,
much going on here. I'm looking over these notes like, oh my Jesus.
It's okay. We're going to get through it.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hold on to your dragons. The final season of Game of Thrones is on Now TV. Catch every heart-stopping moment in the epic fight for the throne, streaming weekly. And if you want even more, we've got over 300 box sets for you to explore. Take a trip to a dark future with The Handmaid's Tale, or catch up with the award-winning Big Little Lies. To start your 7-day free trial, search Now TV. 18 plus, new entertainment customers only. Pass renews at $7.99 per month unless cancelled.
Admit it. You think that cybercrime is something that happens to other people. You may think that no one wants your data, or that hackers can't grab your passwords or credit card details, but you would be wrong.
Yeah, stealing data from unsuspecting people on public Wi-Fi is one of the simplest and cheapest ways for hackers and the undead to make money.
When you leave your internet connection unencrypted, you might as well be writing your passwords and credit card numbers on a huge billboard for the rest of the world to see. That's why we decided to take action. To protect ourselves from cyber criminals, we use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address.
Yeah, ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, and tablet.
Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one click.
And using ExpressVPN, we can safely surf on public Wi-Fi without being snooped on or having our personal data stolen.
For less than $7 a month, you can get the same ExpressVPN protection that we have.
And ExpressVPN is also rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/crappening. That's ExpressVPN.com. ExpressVPN.com/crappening for 3 months free with a 1-year package. Go to expressvpn.com/crappening to learn more.
So now down on the ground, the things are just like not going so well for humans. So they're like, okay, time to fall back, time to fall back. So Lyanna's like, open the gates, I'm a little girl.
Yes, and so everybody starts
you're like, yes.
yeah, I love her. I'm so here for her. She's like, do it! You know, you need that bossy little girl in every situation.
Yeah, those doors would not open without her.
Yeah. Marry your couch up so I'll never leave this restaurant again!
So everyone starts coming back into Winterfell, okay? So everyone's like, okay, this is the stuff in the field isn't working. We're going to come back into Winterfell and get behind these walls. So they're all going in, and then Grey Worm, we're like, oh, Grey Worm is still alive. Somehow he's still alive. He's like, huh, I must protect the retreat. Must protect the retreat. I was like, okay, so you're going to be the last man standing, protecting the retreat, dying so that way everyone else can get into Winterfell. Got it.
Yeah,
Grey Worm,
you're gonna
death
die.
Alert at 10.
Yeah, and he's like, and I put a GPS code on my car. I will not lose it again. And I was like, oh, God, now he's going to die in his lost car.
Well, now he's lost his ticket, his parking ticket to get out. So now he's, like, at the front of the line. Everyone's like, he's like, one moment, I have it here somewhere. I know I have it here somewhere. Did I leave it at the Gap?
Yeah, stopping up the entire parking garage because he doesn't want to pay $20 for the lost ticket.
Yeah, exactly. He's never getting out of this mall.
So over at the tree, Bran's just like, harmony, harmony. You know, he's just, like, chilling. He's like,
he's
got some iced
dragon.
Tea. Yeah.
He's like, as Bran's like, let me get back to doing what I do best, staring at something else. It's like staring at the dragon's like, stop it.
I know. The dragon's like, is that little bitch staring at me, anybody? So then the soldiers start doing, you know, they're like, well, we still got to do choreography, people. Okay, there's never an excuse to give it up.
Yeah.
So they start doing their baby back step by step stepping. And yeah, man, these fucking dead things are so scary. It's just like a horde of them. They never go away. There's like mountains of them.
Yeah, exactly. And so like, you know, Grey Worm is like defending this retreat still, and it's like very clear that this is going to be when Grey Worm dies, like very clear. And so but there's like a lot of retreating, but there's still like the Hound is about to get killed, but then Arya saves the Hound with an arrow. There's a lot of like back and forth between the Hound and Arya, between like who's going to be the savior of whom.
Yeah, because he starts falling back on his old habits of wimping out, you know. But then yeah, she saves him, and he's like, woo. So then Lady Mormont is still down there screaming at people. She's like, if you've got time to lean, you've got time to cling.
Protect that gate.
Yeah, so then Dany is still flying above, and Davos is trying to wave fire to her, but she can't see through the snow, you know?
Yeah, it's like, it's not, she has to reroute to LaGuardia at this point, because this is, like, bad conditions.
And then we get Grey Worm again, and I'm like, okay, here he goes, he's dead now.
That's when he's going to die.
Yeah, because he takes off his helmet, and he's like, shaky yeah, face, shaky face. And then Davos is like, light the trenches! And I'm like, here he goes, he's going to light these trenches, and then this is going to be it.
Yeah, he's gonna light. This is how he will sacrifice himself. He will sacrifice because they're trying to light the trenches with their arrows, but it's too cold, so the arrows aren't catching. And so it's like, okay, Grey Worm is gonna like grab a torch, and he's gonna like run into the masses and light the trenches, and he will die doing so. And it'll be a very like wonderful moment for Grey Worm.
Yeah, but then no, you know,
no.
Then,
Melisandre just waltzes out, all calm, like, oh, did someone say they need fire? It's like, where have you been? We just let you in here. How far did you go? We were just standing here a second ago.
I know. She's got, like, the presidential suite. She's got, like, all the room service. She's, like, already, like, the best guest in the place. It's like, bitch, you just got here, okay?
Where, like, hang out. Like, just, like, stay close. We need your fire, okay?
She's like, all the massage appointments are taken for tomorrow. Sorry.
Sorry, it took me a moment. I was checking with the concierge to see if I could get a reservation for after this battle.
So more troops are waiting at the gate, and then it's another waiting moment where everyone's just like waiting. And then, you know, yeah, Melisandre comes out. And she's like, hello, maroon lady here. Maroon lady here.
I hear you need some fire.
Yeah. And so she starts singing.
Yeah. She's like, anyone need a smoke baby? Smoke baby? Anyone? Anyone? Oh, just fire? Okay. So she's like, axio misa, sexio misa, sonia ero mesa, axio mesa. Set up, Saxio.
Yeah, and she's like, awkward, this isn't working, hello. So she starts screaming louder and louder. And then she almost gets a flying one in the face. And then, boom, it's all on fire.
Yeah, she comes through in the end. She lights it on fire. And it's like, it's great. This is, like, we're saved. Yeah. Grey Worm, and Grey Worm is still alive somehow.
Yes, and the Mountain is freaking out, you know. He's like, panic attack! Like,
well, no. The Hound. Yeah,
and poor
yeah,
Beric is like, hello, I'm doing this with one eye, okay? This is like my 19th life. Could you make an effort? That would be great. Thanks. So then we go down into the crypt, and everyone's just waiting. And then Varys, who's me, is just standing there. He's like, well, at least we're already in a crypt. He like smokes and blows out rings. He's like,
Everyone's like, not now, Varys. God.
And Tyrion's all mad that he doesn't get to be up there. He's like, well, if we were up there, we might see something that everyone else is missing. Something that makes a difference. Now, don't forget, in the Battle of Blackwater. And like, he starts going over his LinkedIn, you know. And they're like, shut up. Okay, you're drunk. Sit down, you're drunk.
Yeah, exactly. Sansa's drunk, is being like very melodramatic. She's like, while we're down here, we can't do anything, and that's the truth. It's the most heroic thing we can do. It's face the truth. Okay, Sansa, just relax. So then they start.
It's like doing nothing is like my favorite thing. Like, maybe we should have stayed married. And she's like, well, you were the best of them. And he goes, what a terrifying thought. Jesus, woman.
And then they're having like a nice moment, and they're like, well, it probably wouldn't have worked out anyway, because basically we would have had divided loyalties because of the Dragon Queen. And then what's her name again? Missandei is like, yes, without the Dragon Queen there'd be no problem at all, because we'd already be dead. Calm down over there. How awkward.
I just call her Missy. That's how I don't know how to
I always call her Lady of Grey Worm.
Lady of Grey Worm. That's I'm like, hey, Missy.
Missy.
Listen here, Missy. So then it's the tree. Guess
do you
what's
mean
happening?
Queen of Dragon Queen, or do you mean protector of the skies, sailor of the boats, flyer of the dragons,
cleaner of the counters, whacker of the weeds,
pool player of the billiards?
So then guess what's going on in the tree at the garden? Nothing. Everyone's just sitting around watching Bran, like, seriously, Bran? And yeah. Theon's like, they lit the trench. Bran, like, I just want you to know. Okay, I'm getting cry face. Hold on. It's like, things. And Bran's like, everything you did was what brought you here now, okay? Where you belong. Your home. Do you feel better, little one? Can we keep this up? Jeez.
Theon's like, I guess so.
Can we have one battle that's not about your fucking feelings, Theon?
And then Bran just goes, I'm going to go now. And Theon's like, go where? He's like, And then he just starts warging.
Yeah.
And he like wargs into a raven, and then like a whole bunch of ravens like leave the trees, and they go flying off, and then they go and they find the they fly up and they find the Night King, and then he just wargs for like the next like hour. He's just like in that raven doing who knows what.
Yeah, and then we see the Night King on his dragon, and he's lifting his hand, and one by one the dead start waking up. And then they start to walk onto the trenches and stab themselves on it to make a bridge for the other ones to get over the fire.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn
by
it.
The way,
didn't
by the way,
people watch Z Nation?
I mean, they should know by now that zombies are really crafty at turning themselves into bridges.
Yeah, they're already dead. What do they care? They are
they
the new
care.
Tiling, okay?
Also, by the way, if I were warging into a raven and I was like flying around the Night King, I would just like totally shit on his head. Okay. It wouldn't kill him, but it would annoy him and it would feel great.
He'd keep catching it like right before it hit him, you know, because he's like the Karate Kid. He's like, yeah, damn it.
You would catch it and be like, fuck. Does anyone have any wet wipes around here? Anyone? No. Yeah.
So everyone's yelling, man the walls! Man the walls! And then the dead start just flooding over.
Yeah. And then to make things even worse, like the Night King's, he's on his dragon. So now we got the zombie dragon. I apologize to the listeners. I never remember what dragon is named what. So I just call them the good dragons and the zombie dragon.
Yeah, blue fire dragon. So yeah. The dead are climbing the walls of the castle now. And we get a Gendry close up of his we get his nervous moment. Gendry.
We've been saying Gendry, but we've been told it's Gendry, I think.
Oh, okay. So Gendry is watching and I'm like, okay, now is he dead? Stop showing me close ups of people's faces being scared.
Yeah. Yeah. Gendry, you know, I kind of forgot about him a lot during this battle. I was just so focused on Grey Worm and Brienne. Because by the way, Grey Worm still alive and now like battling zombies on the wall.
Yeah. So then the Hound is upstairs freaking out, watching everybody get killed and getting traumatized all over again.
Yeah.
And then Arya is just kicking ass with her, or Arya is kicking ass with her spear, and then it just comes apart. I love that she designed her own weapon. She's like, yep, all right, now I'm going to fight this kind of badass. And it's like a triangle, and then it's a circle, and then she's like dancing on top of it. And then it's like tap shoes with fucking swords in them. I'm like, you go. Little
I love her. Well, the best part about this is that, like, preceding her showing up on screen, there was just, like, a lot of, like, battling, and Brienne and Jaime were battling side by side, which was, like, a nice callback to their relationship. But it was just, like, fisticuffs and fighting and sword play. But then when Arya showed up, the music suddenly was like, I was like, I love this. I love that she gets this whole fanfare. Like, good for Arya.
Yeah, Davos is just watching her, like, damn.
Yeah.
So then Lady Mormont is watching everyone as the giant comes in. And I'm like, oh, no, the giant. So then he just slaps her out of the way. She's like, bah! You know, flies, flies over to the side.
And you did not fill out your forms.
Yes.
Yeah, Arya runs into the castle and is being chased around and slammed all around by these things.
Yeah. And it's just now we have this like this giant white. And the Hound is now he's been devolving a little bit for the past few minutes on screen, but now he's just getting fully defeatist and he's like, We can't beat them. You can't beat death. And then the eye patch guy is like, tell her that. And he points to Arya and the Hound is like, hey, I'm inspired.
Yeah, it was like inspiration because she's like jumping around and twirling in the air and stuff. And he's like, I'll go to her. So he runs. And then we just see little Lady Marmont, my hero. And yeah. She's hurt, but she gets up and she discharges that fucking giant. And then he just grabs her and crushes her in his hand. I was like, what the frick, dude? And then he stares at her like, look at this little fucker. And he opens his mouth like he's going to eat her. Which you probably would. Totally gross.
Probably would. The little asshole. Yeah. That giant asshole giant, you know?
And then she stabs him in the eye. And then this is the first time in the episode I started screaming and yelling and jumping up and down in my house like a crazy person.
Yeah, I was very, very happy. And I thought it was just so cruel of that giant. I mean, first of all, like, does he not – even as a zombie, you have to appreciate good talent, okay? I'm sorry. I just feel like that's something that carries through even to a zombified state, okay?
Well, he underestimated and he paid.
And I got to say, great episode for the girls, okay? Great episode for the girls.
Yes,
okay,
Liana, I mean, episode.
She unfortunately did not survive the episode, but you know what? She and Arya sort of had the same move, actually, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but they kind of had that like, oh, you've got me, or do you?
Yeah, stab him in the eye. It was very biblical. It was very like David and the giant. I loved it. Or David and Goliath. Yeah. Okay, so then above, the dragons are flying around, and Danny's behind John, and they finally make it above the clouds, and they can't see shit. And then Blue Five blows up and gets Danny's dragon.
Yeah. You know what I was actually surprised about? I actually felt that the scenes with the dragons were actually some of the least compelling scenes in the episode. I thought the dragons would be the most exciting part, but there were like a lot of scenes where they were like flying and they couldn't see where they were going. And then they would like, and then when they started getting into a dragon battle, it's like, this is our first big dragon battle. So it was like cool. And like, oh, like the magnitude of it was cool, but you couldn't really tell what was going on. And they were all sort of tumbling around each other. So I don't know. I was surprised actually at how unmoved I was by the dragon stuff.
Well, they got to save those big dragon sequences for the Cersei battle, so.
Oh, you know, you're right.
I guess
you're
here
right.
They're just like, here's our biggest weapon, and they're fucked.
Also, by the way, they went up above the cloud line, and I feel like Jon and Daenerys would not be able to breathe up there. I'm just saying.
Well, I know, feel like the most unrealistic
leave it to me to
part.
Be a stickler with realism,
I feel like the most unrealistic thing was that they didn't take down their tray tables.
I would have just been pissed that they did not get any beverages or beverage service while they were up there.
They get their beverages like 20 minutes before landing. They're like, God damn it!
Someone's listening to this podcast. Some Game of Thrones enthusiast is listening. Like, how dare they point this out? They're so mad. They're so mad they tuned in to hear me complaining about air pressure.
So then down on Earth, Arya, I keep calling her Arya. Sorry, I'm from Texas.
I know,
Texas,
I go back
okay?
and forth. It's probably my New York accent.
Arya, as her mother. Let me pronounce it properly for everyone. Arya. As your mother would say it. But Arya's downstairs, and she's in the hallway just hiding from these scary fuckers.
Yeah.
And it's empty. She's in the library, I guess.
Yeah. And this is when I started to get scared.
Yeah, this was scary. This was some old school scariness, because now it's all quiet.
Yeah,
and she realizes that the dead are walking around the library, each just taking kind of a row to guard, and she's fucked.
Yeah. The dead walking through that library, it's not unlike what you see when you go to the Los Angeles Public Library. It was very similar. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't totally understand why she went at the library in the first place. I guess she thought she was going to, I guess, like you said, she was like a little shell shocked from everything. She, you know, she's been such a fighter and she loves to fight and loves to throw herself into it. I was surprised that she had this moment of retreat. But then when I was watching in the, like inside the episode, they said that she hit her head. And so she was like not herself for a little bit.
Oh, yeah, you got to come up with a plan to take on fucking hills of dead people coming at you. Jeez.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Also, I was surprised that she was having such an issue sort of like getting around all these zombies, because there was like, I feel like a good season where Arya would just like appear on different sides of the room, like in the blink of an eye. So I'm like, why is she now having so many like issues spatially with these zombies?
Yeah, it was very stylized because she hit her head. And so everything was shot in Apple portrait mode. She just
there was
get
like
different filters on her face. She's like a bunny as she turns one corner.
She has a top hat on when she comes another one. Sunglasses and a beard and in another shot.
So we get the classic monster thinks he hears her, so he starts coming for her and she hides under a table. And he hears the blood dripping on the floor and bends down, but she's already gone. And I really liked a lot of the horror movie tropes they used throughout this
whole
thing.
I was terrified. I don't do well with startles and scary things. I was like, why are you doing this to me? This is supposed to be a battle episode. Why?
Yeah. And then she turns a corner and it looks like she's gotten stabbed by one of the dead things, but she stabbed that lady right in the face, like right under her face and up through it.
Yeah, she really took care of that zombie. And then she like scampers out of the library. She's like, this is not a good room to be in. And so she closed the door behind her. But then the zombies all make, because she threw a book to distract them. Did we mention that? So now like she's closed the door behind her. But then like the zombies are like, now they're all like unsettled and they make a noise that when they collectively groan, they sound like a toilet flushing. So it sounds like someone just finished up in there. And so now she's like, oh, shit. And now the zombies are like really on the move.
Yeah, so they're screaming and yelling, and then we go to the crypt where it's quiet, but they start to hear that, or whatever the gross noises are.
Yeah.
And they're screaming and running and you know, people yelling, open the door, and sobbing. And then everything just stops.
Right, because everyone died. Because it was people trying to get into the crypt for safety, and now they're dead. And so there's a lot of, like, Sansa emoting, right? She's, like, seeing and hearing and imagining and feeling things and being Sansa.
Being Sansa, yeah. She's marinating in Sansa right now.
Yeah, she's super Sansa at the moment.
Yeah. So then Beric is down in the hallway with Hound, too, and he's got his flaming sword.
Mm-hmm.
And they save Arya, and she saves them. And then they save her, and then she saves them, and they save each other. And yeah, this poor Beric just keeps getting stabbed. It's like, poor guy can't make it 2 feet without getting stabbed in something.
But he's, like, died, like, 10 times on this show, okay? And so, like, this time I'm like, okay, this time I think he's done, you know, and on top of that, like, he got stabbed so many times and they still managed to retrieve him and pull him into this one room. Again, this gorgeous room that for whatever reason, the zombies didn't want to go in, and they like they get in there and then he looks like he dies. And then all of a sudden we hear Melisandre go, the Lord brought him back for a purpose. Now that purpose has been served. It's like, what? How did you get in here, Melisandre?
Well, I know, of course, because they're in the presidential suite. She's like in a down comforter, just chilling.
She's reading Sense and Sensibility.
Yeah.
Oh.
A glass of wine, like a foot massager thing.
Oh, are you here for the turndown service? No, Melisandre. This is zombie invasion.
Beric, they got Beric, and all the zombies were just stabbing him over and over, and he was in the crucifix position, and they stabbed him like a zillion times. And then he's like, okay, I've made it into the room. Finally. I'm going to die in a good suite, okay?
He's like, I'm not dying in this hallway. I want to die with a view of Melisandre.
So Arya's like, I know you. And Red walks over to her and she's like, and I know you. You've gone through puberty and your eyebrows got bigger than anybody could have foreseen, but it's you all right.
You look like you just had uncomfortable sex last night, didn't you? So she's like, you said we'd meet again. And here we are at the end of the world. You said I'd shut my eyes forever. Many eyes, sorry. Many eyes forever. You were right about that, too.
She's like, babe, I'm a witch. How many clues do you need?
I'm like, this is real great conversation you guys are having. I mean, talk about small talk. I know you. I know you.
So then she tells her, brown eyes, green eyes, and blue eyes. And while that's badass, and I was like cheering when she said that, I was also thinking, but that's kind of all the eyes. You know what I mean? It's like when psychic people talk to a 70-year-old and they're like, your parents have passed away. And you're like, well, yeah, duh. You know?
She really did cover all those bases. you're right. Well, she didn't say gray eyes.
Well, I mean, you're really going for the minority there.
I mean, I'm just saying, Arya is not going to kill anyone. If you have gray eyes and you're near Arya, you're good. Also, why can't Melisandre just say, you're going to kill some White Walkers? Does she have to be so cryptic? I mean, just say, yeah, you're going to kill some White Walkers.
Yeah. So then the monsters are against the door screeching. And so Red does another, you know, movie callback. And she's like, what do we say to the god of death? And Arya's like, not today, bitch! And so she
not
goes,
today, Satan.
Not today, Satan! So she runs away. And Melisandre's like, yas, queen. So back at the tree, Theon's just chilling. And then they start to hear the monster sounds. And he's like, oh, God, here they come. And then they get the arrows and they just start shooting. And man, Theon's come a long way.
He's really gone through a lot. And meanwhile, Bran is just sitting there. He's still on a joyride with the Raven. He's still, you know, like, who knows where he is at this point. He's probably down in Dorne doing a little victory lap around the castle down there or something. Like, Bran, could you, like, wake up? We need you to, like, we need you here. I mean, I feel like, was he, like, maybe keeping tabs on the Night King? Is that what we're supposed to, what's supposed to be? Is that what that was?
Yeah, because his only thing, Bran's only thing is waiting for the Night King.
Yeah.
You know, because the Night King wants Bran, because Bran can see everything. So, mm-hmm. if this Night King gets him on his side, you know?
Then he erases history.
Yeah, so... the dragon is overhead now, the blue one.
Yeah.
And then he just starts blue flaming the castle. Like, you know.
Ugh, this dragon's the worst. I mean, really, like, there's so many awful things, like, in the world of Game of Thrones. And this dragon really jumped to the top, because that dragon would just come around, just knock over walls, blue flames everywhere. I mean, it's just like a sloppy, cumbersome dragon. Okay. I could not stand it. A sloppy dragon.
Yeah.
I know that it was doing what it was supposed to be doing, which is destroy Winterfell, but I just felt like it was like a drunk driver of a dragon.
Yes. And the dragons fight. Jon takes his dragon to fight his dragon, and then the Night King tries to pull out his old trick, his spear trick to get the dragon down, but it misses.
Yeah. They finally figured that one out.
Yeah. But the Night King is knocked off his dragon.
Yeah,
and the blue dragon got his head bit. So I was like, yes, finally, we're making some progress. So
exactly. I was like actually hoping that was the end of the blue dragon, because I was just so frustrated by the dragon.
You can't take him down that easy.
No,
sloppy people know no end. You just want them to go to bed at the end of the day, but they last forever.
You put them down on the couch, and you think they're finally asleep, and then you go in the kitchen to talk with your friend, and then all of a sudden they're standing at the door being like, I just want, like, what do you want? Go to the couch. Go back to the couch, sloppy dragon.
You want mean to me. It's like, shut up, sloppy dragon.
Just go and put your head by the bucket.
Someone threw up in my purse. That was you, sloppy dragon. Go to bed.
You're 37 years old, sloppy dragon. You should know how to drink by now.
So back to Jorah hears the dragon sounds above, and it's Dany's, and she sees the Night King standing there, and he's just looking at her like, hello, bitch. Like, I was buying into the theory that the Night King was Bran, like that there was something time travel-y about it. I believe that, because I saw a face warp of his picture. Of his picture morphed into the Night King. So I believed it. But he's just standing there, and I wrote Bran face, because at this point I'm convinced that that's what's happening.
Yeah, because he was totally doing a Bran to the dragon. He was staring at the dragon the way Bran stared at the dragon earlier in the episode.
But the Night King doesn't even say anything ever, and basically he only tilts his head. That's like literally all he ever does. But he's still got so much more personality than Bran. Like, he's still so charming compared to Bran.
He really is. And he's like, does not have a lot of personality. I actually think his like underlings have more personality, because at least they have like gorgeous hair, you know? But like the Night King does not have a lot of personality. And even he has more personality than Bran.
Yeah. He also looks like Tyrion to me. Okay. Not Tyrion. Tywin.
No, Joffrey.
Tywin. I think he looks like Tywin too. Tywin. Lannister. Yeah. Tyrion's dad.
He could be a Lannister.
Yeah.
They are Lannister-esque.
Like, yeah. So she sees the Night King standing there, and they just like do a stare off with each other. And she's like, Dracarys, motherfucker. And so she just burns him and 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 burns him. And Jon comes over on his dragon, and they're just like chilling. They're just like watching the fire burn and waiting to see if he wakes up with like dragon babies.
Yeah. Well, because Jon actually like falls off his dragon did not do well. And so like he just sort of was like ejected from his dragon. So Jon's like coming up. And he's like, okay, cool. Well, this should probably be good enough, and we should probably, you know, this will be over now. But then, of course, like, you know, the Terminator, of course, the Night King is alive. Still alive.
Yeah,
so
he's
obnoxious.
Just smiling at her like, hi! And then, yeah, he picks up his spear and throws it, and she flies away and it misses them. So then he's like, whatever. So he smiles and starts walking towards the castle. And it's just him, because everyone's dead out there. So he just starts walking towards the castle, and Jon's like, and now is my chance.
Right.
Time to put
and
the
at
cry
this
face
point,
away for a minute. He puts his cry face in his pocket for a second.
Yeah, he's like, he's going to go do this. At this point, in my mind, I was like, you know, why doesn't the Night King just, like, raise all these dead, you know, Winterfell people, you know? And the moment I thought it, then that's when he starts doing that. He does his like jazz hand thing where he's like, rise, rise. You know, it's like a Gloria Estefan concert where she's singing like See the Light, you know?
Yeah, because he senses John coming back and he does his infamous overacting head tilt. I'm just kidding.
Right.
It's like so subtle. He's like,
now, if John had actually continued running, because I feel like he sort of stopped. I wish John, if he had just sort of kept running, I feel like there could have been a chance, you know?
Yeah, but John never does that. You know, he has to feel things. They're like, all right, let's have 5 minutes. Everybody take a break while John gets his cry face back on. John, take your cry face out of your pocket and give it to the Night King. And he's like, cry face.
Hey, John, remember your cry face. So this is really bad. Okay, this is definitely a moment where you're like, this is about as bad as it could be. Because now everyone who had died, can you clarify something for me? When he raises the dead, he's raising like the dead bodies, but like all the whites that had been killed,
they're still dead.
They stay dead because they were killed as dead things, right?
Yeah.
Well, either way, it's still this is not
this is all the Winterfell army.
This is the Winterfell army and not just that. I guess I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but the dead people in the crypt, sure enough, they're coming alive too.
Yeah. Now, thank God they're like really dead. They're like they've been dead for like a long time. Some of them, you know, I don't know how long. Years and years, decades and decades dead. So they're kind of like squirrely, you know. They're like, hi. You know, they go like up through, like, we're gonna get you. But they do. They eat a lot of people or whatever. But you know, I mean, compared to what we've just seen, I was like, oh, stop your complaining, crypt people.
Yeah, but now the crypt people are really screwed, and so now everyone in Winterfell who is still alive is getting it from all ends. Like it's just. It's bad news.
But now I'm excited, and now I'm kind of rooting for the White Walkers because Lady Mormont comes back to life, and I'm like, oh my god, she's gonna go boss around all the White Walkers. She's like, those salt and pepper shakers are not full. Did you think I was going to check the list?
Well, there was a theory floating around this week that like when the theory was that the Night King was gonna raise the dead, and that everyone in the crypts was gonna come alive. But like the spirit of Winterfell would be stronger than anything else, and the dead would fight for Winterfell and not for the Night King. So for a moment, I thought they're coming alive, and Lady Lyanna Mormont she's coming alive, but she's going to be a good zombie. But no, she was terrible. Bad zombie. They're all bad.
So now the big badasses, the big baddies, start coming in. The generals are all approaching the gate, and then you know we cut back and forth between the crypt fighting.
Yeah, there's just like at this point, there's like chaos everywhere. Like in every shot, there's just like pure chaos, except for wherever Melisandre is, because she's totally unbothered. But like outside, you know, Jon's about to get killed, and then Daenerys has to come around with her dragon, and she like burns everyone except for Jon, which I don't even know how the dragons have that precision, but they just do. And so then like she like saves Jon, but then the zombies.
Well, I didn't know if it was that he couldn't be burned because he's from the bloodline.
Oh, maybe.
But I think I remember him saying something was hot. Like hasn't he touched fire before and been like, that's hot? I don't know, but I took it as maybe he can't. They left it unclear, but I took it as maybe he's like, you know, the dragon, the brother that, you know, the brother was like, I'm the dragon. And she's like, here's your crown of gold, bitch.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, I mean. I think it's a really solid theory. That would explain why, like the fire does not ignite him, whereas it ignites everyone around him all the time.
But with and this could be an HBO thing too. But when it gets Daenerys, at least her clothes burn off of her. His clothes didn't burn, and maybe they're just like boobies. It's like typical HBO. But I don't know. I don't know how my theory stands up.
Well, remember he had just been like in a snowstorm, so maybe his clothes were actually like now they're just like so wet from melted snow.
Yeah,
that like the fire, even crazy fire, could not ignite that wet outfit.
Yeah, so yeah, he's not burnt. So then, John is like, "I've got to go to Bran Cryface," and Danny's like, "Go, I got this." But she's like sitting there watching too much and doesn't realize that the dead have attacked her dragon and are stabbing it like a zillion times.
Yeah, she was a little not great this episode. I thought, like, normally she's like very badass, but I felt like. she was not that badass. And then so now the dead start climbing all over her poor little dragon. And I was like, and they were like biting the dragon. And I was like, I went from like 0 to 12 in concern. I was like, they cannot kill him. If they kill another dragon and they get to claim another dragon, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to write a letter to someone. I'm going to write a letter to HBO.
Write a letter.
Dear HBO, this is not right, and I do not tolerate this.
So she's flying overhead, and she sees Jorah and her happy face. I like when she gets happy because it's so rare on her face. You never see her smile or anything, and when she does, I'm like, whoa, 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 wasn't ready for that.
Well, she actually was not flying. At that point, she had fallen off the dragon.
Yeah, that's right.
And then
the dragon flew
got
off.
Free
right.
from the dead. So she was there, and she was being surrounded by all the dead. And then Jorah came through and saved her.
Yeah. And so she got her little happy face. So yeah. Then Jon walks through the castle, just slamming down White Walkers or whites.
And we see Sam. He's just on a pile of zombies at this point, doing what you said described before. He's just on his back on a pile of the dead, just flailing at anything, crying and stabbing, and stabbing.
They just cut away from him. It was so funny how they shot it. He's like, ah! They just cut away. And then it's Greyjoy. It's like he's still alive. We have another who's still living check. We see Greyjoy. We see Brienne screaming this... like she's like in her 19th game of tennis.
She is like, yeah, she has been at like in the finals at Wimbledon for at least 4 hours. She's getting exhausted. She's like, how many more games will there be? I thought for sure this. I was like, okay, now she's gonna be dead because she's up against the wall and that she's fully surrounded. This is it for Brienne.
Nope.
And
then John does like a twirl. He's like, twirl stab. I was like, wow, they're really they're really upping their game with John.
Yeah, exactly. So there's like a lot of like, it's like fighting. Theon's protecting Bran. Jorah's protecting Daenerys. Bran is warging still. And the crypt, things are like chaos in the crypt. But we see Tyrion and Sansa. They're like hiding in a corner and they're like having a moment.
Yeah, he's just looking at her and she pulls out a knife to fight for the first time. And then there's kind of romantic music and they smile at each other and he kisses her hand. I was like, this is cute. What a cute show.
I was like, what a lovely, lovely moment in a crypt where they're trapped with a bunch of undead relatives trying to kill them. What a lovely moment.
So then John is in the courtyard pulling a brand. He's just like looking around like, are you fucking kidding me? And then the blue
don't
dragon
you know
lands.
How to get to the tree?
this is when the blue dragon lands on the castle.
Oh yeah, you're right,
burning the
this is when
everything.
Sorry, I jumped.
No, I was the
one
who
one.
Said it, but there's so much chaos
matter.
I don't even know where I am anymore.
Here's the thing, whether the blue dragon did it now or before, I'm gonna attribute all chaos that blue dragon because I hate it so much.
Yeah,
and it comes in
jumping.
And it just crash lands and I'm like, you know what, like I know you don't like the people of Winterfell, blue dragon, but like there's a lot of history in that wall and like you don't have
outside.
To destroy the building.
Yeah,
okay,
kill them outside, appreciate your interiors, dragon.
Yeah, they you know they have just restored Winterfell. Okay, it went through like a really dark period where the Boltons were in there and they just restored it, they just opened it up for tours. And you come in here and you do that. It's like, it's not cool.
And then we get the oddest part of the episode, this last sequence, where this piano music comes up. And it's like PBS. It's like a PBS podcast, you know? It's like... like, what is this? Like that talk space therapy?
This went on for so long. This slow-mo moment, it was this is when it started to get slow-mo, right? Because like it's like fighting. The White Walkers start to walk in and
they give us like a long pan of who's still alive and who's going to be fighting, right?
Yeah, now it's like slow-mo and serious. It's like the Night King is walking in like he's in a Beyonce video, you know? It's like slow motion, you know? He's like self-assured.
Yeah.
He's got like his two like backup dancers behind him, you know, like
yeah, they're like the cool girls in school in a teenage movie where they're like the popular girls in school who are just walking in a clique together through Winterfell as it burns to the ground.
Yeah,
and then we see Jorah getting slashed in the arm and getting back up, and Brienne playing tennis, and Sam crying on the ground still. And then the cool girls are still walking through, and everybody's getting decapitated and stuff.
Yeah, and this is like over the span of like 5 minutes that this is happening. It's like we're watching the slowest march to the tree.
Yeah, and the dead have stopped fighting, and they're just watching the Night King now, you know? And the music's still like, ba-da, ba-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, da-da-da. Like, okay, guys. So then the Night King finally makes it out to the garden, and they show a close-up of his nails, and they're, like, filed down to those pointy claw-type nails. I was like, the Night King, this is the Night King's big night, and he prepped. I mean, he looks good.
Yeah.
He's ready to do this right. So he approaches, and Bran comes back into his body. His eyes come back down. Yeah. And he's super exciting now. Just kidding. He's just like, hello.
So Theon, you know, basically the only one left in this courtyard is Theon. And now here comes the Night King, which is hilarious that it's like Theon protecting Bran from the Night King. So we're like, okay, this isn't going to go well. But for a second, you can tell that Theon actually is hopeful. He's like, you know what? I've killed this entire courtyard. I think I can take on the Night King. And so he's like, for a moment, there's like a flash of hope in his eyes. And then Bran goes, Theon, you're a good man. Thank you. Which is basically his way of saying, you're going to die now.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. Thanks. Thanks for being here. Please grab your gift bag on the way out to death.
How about you say you can do this? How about be encouraging, Bran? This guy's actually there to save you. Can you just like give a little pep talk?
Yeah. But he doesn't. He's like, goodbye. No. Thank you. Collect your things on your way out, please. The doors will be locked behind you. So Theon gets Theon gets his own cry face back on.
Yeah.
And then he nods at the Night King. And the Night King's like, oh, aren't you cute? And Theon just runs at him. It now, for some reason, Theon is like 5 blocks away from him now. He just keeps running and running and running and running.
I was like really embarrassed for Theon, actually. I was like, this is like the worst. This is of all the ways to come after the Night King, this is the worst way.
Yeah. When he can see you doing it. And he just grabs a spear and it kind of stabs him in the love handle, which was also rude. Yeah. I mean, what a way to go.
I know. I mean, at least he got taken out by like the biggest baddie of them all. But I just was like, oh, Theon, I feel like.
I mean, kind of. But Theon worked so hard to become like a confident person, a confident fighter again. And then they just stab him in the muffin top.
Well, he did fend off that entire courtyard,
area. He killed it. He was a good fighter with those arrows.
I know, but it was just sort of like, it wasn't even like a fight. It wasn't even a moment of like, oh, like he takes a stab and then the Night King does it. And there wasn't even any sort of intrigue. The Night King literally just took his little spear thing, took it out of his hands and just stabbed him in the stomach. I was like, be done.
Yeah, there was a moment I thought he was actually just going to move to the side and let the Night King through when Bran was like, thank you. Yeah. You've done great. You can move aside now. I thought he'd just be like, okay, you can speak to the president now. I'll just be right over here.
It would have been hilarious if the Night King actually just moved out of the way and Theon just charged right by him.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, shit. They all just like mock him.
They all laugh. All the generals are like, ah. So, yeah, poor Theon's down. And at first they make it look like he could live because he's just it's just a love handle at first. And so he's staring up, but then he dies. Yeah, he dies. It's sad.
Yeah, no, he's done. This is his big moment of death. So then, now that Theon's dead, guess what? Bran just starts staring at the Night King. Like, of course Bran does. Like, shut up, Bran. Just stop staring. Don't even stare at the Night King, okay?
The Night King stares back at him, and I'm like, are you guys dating now? What is happening? They're just staring at each other.
John's over in the other courtyard, and he's, like, futzing with this dragon. He's, like, playing peekaboo with it. It's like, John, just...
He keeps hiding. It's like peekaboo or hide and seek.
I'm just like, I don't know. I was getting very frustrated because it was... I think I was in a huge amount of suspense, so I was channeling that suspense into anger at the character. I was angry at the characters for making me be under suspense.
Yeah, so that we get a close up of those nails again. I'm like, of course, okay. Now the popular girl in school is coming towards the dork with some pretty nails, you know, and that piano music is still just tinkling away, which cracks me up every time. And he just approaches Bran, and they're eye to eye, and then Bran gives, like, he totally body checks him. He looks him up and down.
Yeah. I definitely noticed, actually, some sexual tension. Speaking of which, we then go outside of Winterfell, and shockingly enough, Jorah is still alive, and then within a second of realizing that he's still alive, he gets killed.
Yeah. Oh, is that happening now? Oh, that was so
sad. Yeah, it happens right now. Well, it's all intermixed because basically, one of the dead is about to kill Daenerys, and Jorah like swivels in the way so that way he takes the hit. So then he gets killed, and then it goes back to like slow mo, and now we're seeing like slow motion all across. It's like they really got into this. It was like turning into like a perfume commercial or something like that. It was very slow mo. And then it sort of like lands on the Night King and Bran face to face, full of sexual tension, but also hatred.
Yes. Yeah, so the Night King raises his hand to take his sword, you know, from his back, because he's going to take Bran for himself.
Right.
And then we just see Arya flying through the air at his back, ready to stab him in the head.
And before Arya does that, we see Jon. He stands up and goes face to face with the dragon and starts screaming at the dragon as if that's going to do anything, John. Okay.
So she comes at him. She's flying at him with a knife ready to stab him in the brain. And he immediately turns around and grabs her by the neck.
Yeah.
And so she drops her knife and catches it with her other hand. And then he kind of looks at it like, you know, he's watching her. And then boom, she stabs him right where he got stabbed the first time with that glass that turned him into the Night King by the tree people.
Yeah, exactly. And Arya actually kills the Night King. She actually does it. Which was,
oh my God, best moment in TV in so long.
I did not see that happening. And in fact, I was scared that when she did that, when she came flying truly out of nowhere, I actually don't know where she came from and how no one else noticed her fly like close enough that she come flying out of nowhere. I was afraid that it was going to be like a misdirection and then she was going to get killed trying to save her brother. And I was like, for a moment, I had a moment of extreme panic, but then it turned into like extreme joy because it was like, who would have thought? They made us believe that it was going to be Jon who's going to do this. And it was Arya, which was such a great moment.
Yeah. So I was screaming and yelling in my house.
Yeah.
And then all the dead just start falling. We get to see all the dead people or all the dead deads. Now they're dead, falling.
Yeah, they're super dead. All the White Walkers explode. It's like a fabulous, like, after like 90 minutes of tension, it's just like it's a great moment. And then everything settles down. And then Arya's just with Bran and she's just looking at him to be like, so, like waiting for like a thank you.
Yeah,
you know?
Am I going to at least get a smile now? I mean, Jesus. He's like, nah.
He's like, I knew that would happen.
Saw it coming. Next.
Like, really, Bran? You can't even thank her?
And so then we see Jorah fall over dead finally, and Daenerys mourns him, and then we see Jon. Jon's like, oh my God, everyone's dead. Oh, okay. The dragon is about to kill him finally, and then the dragon falls over dead. And he's like, finally, I was very uncomfortable with that cry face. So he whips that out and puts that back on.
Yeah. He was like, he's like back to being emotional. And then like in all this chaos, then the Hound and Melisandre emerge. And I was like, is she going to get naked one last time? Like one last time for a good time's sake. And sure enough, she sort of like walks out of Winterfell and does this long walk through the soldiers. And she takes off her special necklace, her choker, and drops
her youth, her necklace of youth. And fucking Davos is still standing behind her like, I'm gonna kill her now, should I kill her now, like the whole time. It's like, don't you have other things on your mind? He's still like, I'm gonna kill her, should I not, what is she doing, where's she walking to, where is she going? So yeah, she takes off her necklace and throws it to the ground, and then starts taking off her robes, and then yeah, of course, her final strip. And then she just falls down. You see her turning really old again and wastes away to death.
I'm like, she is so extra. Also, like, I don't understand. She didn't have to die. You didn't have to do that, Melisandre. You could have stuck around.
Well, she doesn't want to be wrong, you know, because she's a psychic and she's already been humiliated by being wrong once about what's his buns. And so now she's like, look, I said I was going to die and I'm going to die. That's it. Okay.
I'm sticking to it. Okay. And I'm going to die in the most extra way. Okay. I waited for all you guys to have your pedestrian deaths. Now I'm going to die and you're going to see me age in front of your eyes and I'm going to get naked while I do it. And honestly, I might even have a smoke baby. I'm going to decide in the moment.
And it was a beautiful, beautiful silent ending after that. But I didn't mention that Dany's dragon came down and like cuddled her and Jorah as he died. That was so cute.
It was cute. I actually, I was surprised I didn't feel more in that moment. I thought I'd get emotional. I didn't actually get very emotional during that moment. It was sort of surprising that Melisandre got like the final dramatic death of the episode. Like the episode literally ended on her dying.
Well, she was the biggest character probably to die, right? Because
Jorah were about the same.
Yeah, well, Jorah. Well, that was his. Yeah, he got the second
I guess
to
they
last.
Both died.
Yeah, he died at the end. Yeah,
but hers was more like it signaled the victory. Her death signaled the victory over the White Walkers.
Well, yeah, the end of the magic part, because the magic part of the episode was, or the series, has always been the White Walkers, and she was brought into it for the magic. You know, so now that the magic is done, she's like good to go.
She's like the last magic, perhaps.
Yeah,
but I will say, I was really happy that the whole White Walker issue was settled in this episode, the third episode of the season, because for me, you know, as exciting as this episode was, for me personally, I always think the more interesting part of the series is the jockeying for power and the manipulation and the politics of it all, and the White Walker stuff and going north of the wall and all that stuff has led to like very exciting episodes, but I don't find it to be as innately interesting as the other stuff. So I was glad that the show, that was not the ultimate climax of the show, and that it appears to be the ultimate climax is a showdown with Cersei, who has been sorely missing for two episodes. So I'm very, this is not a complaint. This is me saying I'm very happy that, okay, we have now finished out and we can now focus on petty humans again.
Yes. I love that the zombies are the small bad boss and the big boss is really Cersei. You go, Cersei. She's my favorite one. And I know it's going to be very difficult for her to win, but she's still in my pool as the winner. I still picked her. And anybody who's playing a Deadpool for this one, this was a very upsetting episode. I mean, it was an amazing episode, but once we all calmed down from watching it, it's like, holy shit, I just lost a lot of money tonight.
Well, the truth is, though, seeing Arya kill the Night King, who I was not expecting that to be Arya's big moment. I still think Arya is going to kill Cersei. Someone I know gave a very good theory that Jaime's going to get killed, and then Arya is going to like put on Jaime's face and then kill Cersei, which I thought was now I don't think that's going to happen, but that's what I thought was going to happen. So if Arya can kill Cersei, I mean, can kill the Night King, I mean, anyone could take the throne. It just goes to show it's up for grabs. I mean, Grey Worm's back in it. He's back in it. He survived. He could be on that throne.
Well, there's still a huge battle coming.
Yeah, that's true.
Huge.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of another week. This was just a fantastic episode. My God.
Yeah, it was a great episode. Very very exciting and super fun. And honestly, like, edge of your seat. And you didn't really know what was going to happen next or how they're going to get out of a bind. So really, really great job.
Yeah. And thanks, everybody, for all the support you've given us in our short run of this podcast. You guys have been really kind to us and shown us a lot of love and helped us a lot along the way. So thank you. And we will be back next week, everybody.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk some more about it. And don't forget, you can also hear us on Watch Our Crappins, where we talk about stuff on Bravo, etc.
Hey,
so
we'll
go
see
listen
you guys
to that.
Later.
Bye.
A Sky Cinema original.
Do you remember the night we met?
Based on the true story behind Ted Bundy.
This is all gonna end.
It's only gonna end with the truth.
America's most notorious serial killer.
This case is about catching a monster.
Starring Zac Efron, Lily Collins, Kaya Scodelario, and John Malkovich.
Promise you'll never leave me.
Did you do these things, Ted?
Extremely wicked, shockingly evil, and vile. In cinemas and on Sky Cinema Friday.
If you enjoy this podcast, why not try Rethinking Business, a new podcast series brought to you by NatWest. Join me, Piers Linney, as I meet inspiring business leaders who are doing things differently, disrupting markets, overcoming challenges, and bouncing back when things don't go to plan. We'll hear how perceived barriers can be turned into advantages and how the journey to success is not always as you'd expect. This week, I'm joined by Josh White of Cano Water, a business fighting the plastic plague.
this whole business basically has grown on people telling us that we can't do this. The whole business.
And what you've done, though, is solve a problem that's not so much about the product. It's about how that product is brought to market.
Purpose is everything. I actually think that brands that don't have solutions or purpose will drown.
That's Rethinking Business, brought to you by NatWest. Subscribe now on your favourite podcast app.